Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Hey guys, this is Fleshvine.
You helped me.
Because you're supposed to say "and Phantom."
And Phantom.
Because we're so fucking clever. Yay. This is episode 3 of Geekless Kink. And I'm actually recording this. I'm recording this quite a few weeks late because I actually had a friend who sent me a really thoughtful email when it posed like a lot of really interesting questions. And it was something that I could have written back, but I really thought that it would make a lot of sense to do this as a recording because, yeah, this is something that we've kind of come across in our relationship, and it's something that I think is important. Maybe a lot of people don't, you know, haven't really thought about these things or that sort of thing. If you can hear that squeaking in the background, those are our new rats. That's Professor Digby and the Smudge in there.
The smudge. She's very sensitive to that.
Though. Yeah, and we've been at the rat fights all day, so...
They're just playing, but...
Yeah, they're cute, but they're doing that little freak out, that little wah thing, so it's...
so if we just occasionally stop, and you just hear...
Yeah, and you hear us...
watching.
Yeah, and if you hear us laughing, too, that's probably why, because they're right in front of the bed. And yeah, we're recording in bed, so... Wow. Okay, anyways, I'm gonna get into this email. Okay, this comes from a friend, and she actually asked me to keep her, name secret, and she wanted to be anonymous, and I actually copied and pasted this into a Word document, so Phantom doesn't even know who wrote this. Yeah, just because, you know, I want to respect people's privacy and their anonymity if they ask for it. But she asked some really good questions, so I'm gonna start reading them and answering them just, you know, as I do. So, and she actually, has not, from what I understand, has not had a lot of experience with kink, but she just has a lot of questions going on. Her first question, how important is it to know your partner's mindset or motivation while playing? Actually, I'm just gonna read this. I know in a recent episode you guys talked about the importance of communication, but is there also a responsibility of each party to try to read the other person? Well, yes, absolutely. And I would say that that responsibility lies far more strongly with the dom, top, or sadist. Because as a sub, you are, you know, as part of the energy exchange, what you're giving to your dom or your top or your sadist is also a lot of trust. You should definitely trust that person. And as a top or a dom or a sadist, you have got to respect how much trust that you're getting. And that's crucial to play to me. What about you?
What?
You trust me pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, I totally do.
Yeah. Even though we have had our snafus, the time that we played and you didn't call your safe word, and I wasn't paying enough attention to notice that we really should have stopped.
Yeah.
But that's a question of, yeah, that was more of a learning progress.
Mm-hmm.
Learning progress. Learning process. Totally. For us more than anything else. But it is, you know, and two, as far as knowing your partner's mindset, yeah, I mean, you need to know enough about, well, you know, it kind of falls into two categories. If you're playing casually, then no, you won't necessarily be able to read your partner enough to know what their mindset is. And even as a sub, it's up to you to know what your own mindset is.
Yeah.
And yeah, and if you go into something and you're not feeling right and you're having a bad day and you've got all these issues you need to work out, that's probably a bad time to play. Or it might be a great time to play. It might be a great time to kind of exercise some demons. But you need to know enough, you know, to judge for yourself. So if you're, you know, playing casually, each partner has their own responsibility for their own little mindset, I guess I should say. Whereas if you're in a long-term playing relationship, then yeah, you should be able to read your partner a lot more. So, would you agree to that?
Broke my TV.
You broke his TV. For example, if your partner has an abusive past and likes to be whipped or otherwise hurt, how do you navigate that? Well, that's, you know, again, that goes, again, towards long-term or casual play. You know, there's no way of knowing if you're playing casually. You don't necessarily know what their motivations are, and you don't know why they're asking for specific things. You know, I had actually a really cute little boy who wanted to play, who he was African-American. And he wanted more than anything else to be called the N-word. And there was no way that I could do that. And it was part of his past and his, you know, heritage, really. And it was a very strong kink for him. And it was, you know, it was an absolute deal breaker. And I just had to turn him down because in my background, I've had a lot of really negative experiences with racism and, you know, with people in my family who are racist. And I just find it disgusting. So I couldn't go there with him. So there are things like that, you know, if it's like a casual player, it's someone new that you're meeting, they need to be negotiated and you need to kind of discuss and you need to find out why certain things are being requested. And you know, you've got to be able to stand your ground and be like, no, it's just not okay with me. So yeah, so you navigate that through, really just through negotiation. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing. Like, if you are playing casually, there needs to be a lot of negotiation. Even if you don't want to tell them, you know, hey, this thing happened to me when I was 14 and that's why I like this certain specific thing. Just say, I like this certain specific thing, but not this other thing. You know, if you were cut and you hate the idea of anything sharp, you have to negotiate that. It's kind of up to the players if it's casual. In a long-term relationship, you'll know more about those things. Yeah. Let's see. How can you tell if someone or yourself is in a healthy mindset to explore certain kinks, or if they or you are dealing with deeper issues? With these questions, I'm referring to long-term relationships rather than casual one-time partners. I think, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I think that we're all dealing with deeper issues. I don't know anyone who hasn't had things happen to them in the past that they need to work out in their own ways. And BDSM is great for that. It's great for, you know, exploring power dynamics in a more controlled environment where you can really get into the psychology behind the things that you like. Or, you know, maybe even if you don't like pain, but you feeling it gives you that catharsis or helps you release maybe some emotional pain from earlier in your life. I think BDSM participants are just a lot more honest about needing to experience those things. You know, if you've been in an abusive situation, you know, maybe you want to be dominant, you want to play as a dominant to take control over your sexuality. Or maybe you want to play as a sub, but with someone that you trust a lot so that you can kind of bring yourself to trust again and bring yourself to feel comfortable being vulnerable. So I think that really BDSM people just are a little bit more honest sometimes about some of the issues that we've all really dealt with. I don't know anyone who grew up without any issues. You know, and then again, you know, you just have to be strong enough if you're going to play casually to say, listen, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. This will, you know, take me to a really fucked up place. You know, you just have to negotiate that. You have to be strong. Even if you're playing as a sub, you can't just turn everything over and be like, just do whatever you want to, because you never know what'll come up. And I have been in situations where, you know, somebody who thought that they wanted something found out it really, I mean, it just broke them down. So, you know, that's something as a top or a dom or, you know, a sadist that you have to be willing to deal with, and you need to be able to stop what you're doing and really take care of the sub and really talk to them and find out what's going on, what's going on in their heads. So that is something, it's a definite pitfall. It can happen. Let me read. It seems that common relationship advice is you deserve to be with someone who won't hurt you. And while I understand that there's a huge difference between an abusive relationship and pain inflicted by certain kinks, how do you separate or combine the pain inflicting and the loving bits of relationships? You know, honestly, I've been with people who really were, you know, and I say pain sluts and it sounds bad, but it's an affectionate term, who part of my taking care of them was giving them the pain that they craved. You know, there are people who really need that and really need, you know, for various reasons, for, like I said, for attention release, for, dealing with past issues, for just because they just love the pain and really get off on it. And that was part of the loving part of the relationship was giving them pain. You know, while they give me the trust and they give me the vulnerability that I crave so much. So that it's not necessarily mutually exclusive. And, you know, really, with Phantom and I, not to get too overly personal, he's not so much into pain. You know, he'll try things just kind of out of curiosity because he wants to try them because he's curious. But we have, you know, there are other dynamics. It doesn't necessarily have to be sadism and masochism. It can also be dominance and submission. And even though I don't, you know, crack a whip and, you know, tell him to grovel at my feet, we just, in our relationship, tend to be a little bit more dominant and submissive. Yeah. And those are kind of our personalities, and it's kind of good that we found each other. You know, in all honesty, I do sometimes miss, you know, wailing on someone, but, you know, it was so easy to give that up for someone who wasn't into pain, as long as I still got the vulnerability, which is the root of my drive, to play, is really the vulnerability. So I get that. So, anything? I'm just yammering.
Yeah, no, you're doing fine.
Okay.
I can't think of anything to think about.
Okay, right on.
I'll break.
Yeah. Okay, as far as the pain inflicting and the loving bits of relationships, are they completely separate elements of a kinky relationship, or is it something you have to juggle or balance? You know, it's so hard to speak for anyone other than myself. For me, that's a rough one. I don't think they're separate elements. I think that they work well together. Like I said, like if you're in a relationship with a pain slut, it's a very loving act to give that person the pain that they need. Is it something you have to juggle or balance? It kind of is. I can say not necessarily as far as pain, but as far as the dominance.
Mm-hmm.
I have always had trouble with, you know, if I'm actually dating someone, if this is not just a play partner, but a boyfriend, kind of remembering, hey, hang on, I'm in control and I need to, you know, put my foot down at certain things. Because, like, if they don't write the blog every week that they said that they would write, you know, it's like, do you point it out? Do you give them shit for it? Do you, you know, punish them somehow? It's kind of a weird, the discipline, I think has really been more of my issue. You know, I like control. I like people to do what I say. I like people who are happy to do what I say. And, the rats are going ape shit. I would say it is something that you have to juggle. Just because, you know, all relationships are different, honestly. It's best when it flows. Sometimes it doesn't flow and you have to stop what you're doing and, you know, put your foot down about things. So, let's see. It's been a while since I listened to the latest episode of Flesh Wine's Femdom Experiments, but I believe you talked about setting rules in a DS relationship. What are the benefits of establishing a relationship as a DS relationship from the start, as opposed to letting a relationship evolve into that type of relationship on its own? You know, honestly, it just kind of depends on who you are and who you're with. I was looking for a DS relationship when I found Phantom. Because that's, you know, I was playing hardcore DS. And so I knew that that needed to be an element of whatever relationship I ended up in. So that's what I was looking for. However, I have known a lot of couples. Actually, one of our regular listeners has said that he realized, you know, that he was a sub, and then he realized actually that he had been in a female-led relationship for his whole life, or as long as he's been, you know, with his wife. And there are benefits really to each. I mean, it just kind of depends. Life, you can't really put too many rules on it, or you can't, you know, put too many expectations. This is exactly what I'm looking for, because you got to be flexible, because you just never know. I mean, that's kind of the way things go. Sometimes you'll find that thing that you know that you're absolutely looking for, and sometimes you'll find something different that works even better for you. So, you know, if you're interested in having a DS relationship, it is easier to meet someone who is also looking for that sort of relationship, but that doesn't mean that the person that you meet who previously thought that they weren't kinky isn't going to be wonderful and isn't going to be the sub or dom of your dreams. So I don't know, just, I mean, as far as that goes, just, I would say be open-minded.
Yeah, I think we were, there's a lot of stuff that each of us were that weren't what the other person was looking for.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You thought I was pretentious when we first met.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Why did I say that?
I don't know why you said
that. Either way. Probably because you're big and Bali.
Yeah, I was pagan and poly, and no, I am pagan.
Associate that with also pretentious.
Yeah, well, so
I've known them.
Yeah,
so 99% of the time.
Yeah. Shut up. So yeah, so I mean, it's just like you never know, but it is easier to start a relationship with DS elements if you get involved with someone who's playing. But then again, you may meet somebody who you just get the inkling that they might be a little bit kinky. And then you bring it out, and then it's like this whole process of discovery. So, is it solely a matter of knowing what you want from the start instead of experimenting with DS elements? Again, you know, just by all means, if you're in a vanilla relationship and you have kind of an inkling that you might want to try some things, bring it up, because you never know. But your partner may have been dreaming of the day that you would, you know, take an interest. I mean, you're you know, you never know. Is there a website or other source that you can recommend to learn more about stapling, specifically safety type information? No. Honestly, I looked all over the place and I couldn't find anything. It seems like, I had seen someone do some stapling, and so that's kind of where I learned a lot. I also looked, there were some YouTube videos on stapling. Stapling's kind of one of those things that's pretty easy. I mean, it you're not cutting flesh, you're just puncturing it. And you're not, you know, like with sounding or things like that, you want to know the physiology. With stapling, you grab some skin, you squeeze a thing, and boom, they're stapled. It's not really tough.
Yeah, really, unless you're stapling an open wound.
Right.
You can't really screw it up. Like, just yeah. The mechanism of the stapler itself will not hear.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do. So, you know, by all means, do some searches on YouTube, just to see how it's done. I do research something if it is something that I need to spend some time on safety. I'll do some research, but aside from common sense things like make sure the skin is clean, make sure the person's hands are clean, maybe even using gloves. You know, there may be a slight amount of blood, so gloves are always a good thing for that. Aside from common sense things like that, just grab a stapler and just grab some skin and staple it.
Mm-hmm.
I love stapling. I thought about actually getting the stapler out and stapling Phantom while we did this, but you don't mind the stapler. You didn't hate the stapler.
There are worse things than the stapler.
Yeah.
I'll say
that. Lately, I've been fascinated with corset piercing, and while it would be a completely different experience sensation, can you create the look with ribbons and staples? Yes, you can.
You can, and you did.
You can, and I did. I actually made one for one of my friends at Frolicon last year. And actually, the cool thing about the staples is they kind of sit above the skin, So there is a loop where you can loop that the ribbon through. So stable corsets are really easy to do, really fun. And if you remember, way back in the beginning, the first time that we had DJ Caddy Ninetales on, she said that stabling is one of her favorites, and it was the easiest way for her to go immediately into subspace. And it is an immediate thing. You put that stapler on the skin, and boom, you feel that puncture. So it is a very immediate way to get to subspace. Stapling is much less painful than piercing or cutting or needles or anything else. So it's a great way if you are kind of interested in breaking some skin to get some experience in that. As far as buying the staplers, I had actually bought it from a local place. I bought both mine at a local place that I cannot find anywhere. I'm sorry, I looked online to see if I could track them down. I know that there is one in the Pacific Northwest, and I couldn't track them down either. I'm sorry about that, but to be honest, your best bet is to look on eBay. As long as they are sealed and they are sterile, and they have to tell you that they're sealed and sterile, you can get staplers there. You're also going to want a staple remover, because it is really a bitch to try to pry those things out if you don't have the proper tool.
It doesn't work like a paper stapler.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to use the little, like, back bend.
Exactly.
You need a special thing.
Exactly. But really, it's a lot of fun. Seriously, when I bought mine, I stapled my leg. Just kept stapling it just because it's an immediate, sharp pain that fades out pretty quickly. And, I don't know, it's fun. You can thread ribbon in and you can do all kinds of fun things with it. I swear I know somebody who did a staple corset, but instead of like breast or back or stomach, they basically threaded someone's ass cheeks together. It's part of bathroom play.
Yeah,
it's part of bathroom play. So definitely, run, don't walk to get some staplers because it's really a lot of fun. And it is one of those things that if you take it to somewhere like Frolicon, you can staple three or four people in one go. Because you're like, ooh. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. You know, if you do like the staples, if you find that you like those a lot, and you have a partner that you trust, and because it's really about five steps up, and it's very trippy, try needles. They're a lot more intense because you actually have to manipulate the sharp through your skin so that there's the going into the skin portion and the coming out of the skin portion. And you can get some screens with that. So that's a lot more intense. But it is such a great way to get someone to subspace. I mean, just flying high in subspace. So that would be like another step up. But yeah, definitely give it a shot. I've had a lot of fun with it. You know, again, I've participated, you know, both as the top and the bottom with needles, and I don't hate it. So really that's it as far as the needle goes. You know, I also wanted to give a shout out to, you know, one of my friends on FetLife who, wrote a poem.
Oh, God.
About the girl with blue hair. About the girl with blue hair on her FetLife profile. So thank you, honey. That was really sweet. That was really cool. It kind of made my freaking week. You know, and actually, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I had said as far as websites for stapling, I didn't find any. Anything like that you're curious about, check FetLife. And you can really do a profile on FetLife with no pictures, no information, make it absolutely anonymous, and you can learn about so much because there are so many forums, and the forums will have some people who have no idea what they're talking about, but you can usually pick through those and find out who really knows what they're talking about, and you can get some great information. You can get great information on suppliers, on the safety, on various things for any kink. I swear everything's on there. So give FetLife a try. If you don't want to be terribly anonymous, friend me. I'd love that because I know you're an amazing person. I really like you a lot. You've been very sweet to me, and I don't see you that much on Twitter, so I don't get a chance to interact all that much. I'm not on Twitter all that much anymore, but I think you're fabulous. So Let me know how it goes for you, because I'm really curious to find, you know, if anything that I said helped at all. But that's it. So I guess, is there anything else you want to say? No.
I'm sorry, I totally just said that.
Okay. Oh, awesome. So, yeah, so he's not listening to me at all.
I was paying attention. I just couldn't think of anything good to say.
So, okay. So, alrighty. Okay, so you guys be good. Or, you know, what Bill says. Bye. Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you. Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.